Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics across the globe. I'm your host this week, Debbie Cowden. Today's episode is called The Resurrection is Real, Finding Joy Amidst Sorrow. It's a continuation of our discussion on motherhood and suffering, and you can watch part one on our online streaming platform, EWTN On Demand. My panel today is filled with women who are witnesses to Christ's victory over death. We have Kristalina Everett, Claire Couchy, and Christine Moss. Thank you, ladies, for joining me once again. Now, Kristalina, one of the many beautiful and awesome parts about being Catholic is the fact that we love to celebrate our feasts and seasons to the fullest. So what is the significance of Easter being 50 days, even longer than the 40 days of the Lenten season?
You know, Jesus ascended into heaven, and there's also that waiting period before Pentecost when he sends us our advocate, right, and our guide and our counselor. And a lot of us forget about the Holy Spirit in our lives. A lot of us forget to pray and ask for his help, especially in times of confusion, in suffering. And during this time of Easter, I've been asking to really hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because really that small, still voice is our compass. And I tell my children, that is your compass. Listen, but there really truly is something about the Holy Spirit also during that Easter season, and not to forget about him in our daily lives.
Amen. What a beautiful reflection, too. So we pray during this time, come Holy Spirit, and we ask for these gifts of his to enlighten us and to be able to go forth and to be a witness to the whole world. And now, Claire, while we're speaking of the resurrection, it's important to recognize that when Jesus rose from the dead, he still had the wounds from the crucifixion on his hands and on his feet and in his side. So what can we take away from that reality related to our own suffering?
One of my all-time favorite images is found in a side chapel in Rome, the Church of the Gesù. It's the first Jesuit church built in Rome. And in the side chapel is this stunning, profound image of Christ. And he's holding out his Sacred Heart in his left hand. And then his right hand is pointing towards his most Sacred Heart. And at first, your eyes are just drawn at that vulnerable heart. But then you notice, if you stay a little longer, that his wounds are present in his hands, pointing to that most Sacred Heart. And we have an insight gazing at this image of what the first apostles saw when he came into that inner room, upper room, after his crucifixion. So he is inviting us, like St. Thomas, to put his hand into his side when we are suffering, and then to extend it towards others, holding out our own hearts to others. So we do have these wounds, but it can be such a source of light and beauty and vulnerability to others.
And a reminder that death is not the end. Praise God for that. And Christine, in the first part of this discussion, you told us about your family's cancer journey from your husband's diagnosis leading up to his death, but his death wasn't the end of the story. So how has the resurrection become real for you?
Yes, death is never the end. And resurrection is the ability to see God in every moment, not just in the here and now, but also what is to come. Michael received his own resurrection. He died with the sacraments. He died with the apostolic pardon. He had a beautiful requiem mass. And he was surrounded by myself and our children and family at his death, and being able to overcome the spiritual warfare that was occurring at that time. And his resurrection, by the grace of God, has occurred. Resurrection in our marriage, offering to God every beautiful and every hard moment for something good to come of it, for some resurrection, for his benefit, for our benefit. And then, just as God does, one thing that I did after Mike died was I reminded God of what he tells us often in Scripture, and that God is a God in the land of the living. And yes, resurrection comes after we die, but resurrection can also come on this earth. And I prayed to God, and I offered every moment and every tear and every raindrop and every second for something beautiful to come from our journey and our loss. I wasn't expecting to be a widow at 37 with four young children. And I had already discerned my vocation and knew I was called to be a wife and a mother. And so I prayed in a rosary that God would bring about my next vocation, whatever it might be, without delay, whether I was supposed to be a consecrated widow or whether I was supposed to get married again. And longing for that own resurrection in my life and my children's life. And God brought me this most incredible man named Alex, who is also a fellow widower. He lost his first wife to breast cancer. And I actually knew her and our children knew each other. And we've been married a year and a half now. And we got married on the feast of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary and first Friday of the Sacred Heart. And to sum it all up, the resurrection is God in every detail, this sacrament of the present moment. And I remember crying on the kitchen floor one day, and I just had this visual of my tears being collected in a chalice by the angels. And this is before I heard the Padre Pio quote that our tears collected are returned as diamonds. And the shape of my new wedding ring is a teardrop. So both spiritually and physically, our lives can be resurrected in ways that we just don't even expect.
That's absolutely right. And I've been so grateful to follow along with your story on Instagram. You've been so wonderful in sharing that for people so that they can be reminded that death is not the end and that there is good that comes from the suffering and that Jesus triumphs over death. Now, Kristalina, we can all experience the resurrection in our own lives. So death, sorrow, suffering, our past, they don't define us. And you have dedicated your entire life to helping women recognize this and work toward healing and work toward that resurrection. So tell us who Women Made New is for and what it's doing.
Women Made New is for all women and all walks of life, regardless of where you've been or what has happened to you, that it's never too late to start over. And if you've been raped or you've had an abortion or you suffered any kind of abuse, that is not the end. And just like Debbie said, that does not define you, but don't let it control the rest of your life. Don't let the sins of someone else keep you caged when God wants so much more for you, because we all forget we're here for a purpose and God has a plan. And the devil wants to do nothing but destroy that and destroy you as a person and what God created you to be. And I encourage women right now to really think about and contemplate and take to prayer, what is it that is keeping you from becoming the woman that God has created you to be? Is it a wound? Is it a sin? Is it a relationship? What is it? Because if you can pray and ask Jesus what that is, so many vices are stemming from that. So much of your life and how you act and the things that you're doing are living out of that wound. But if you can take it to Jesus and if you can present that to him and be honest with yourself and take a sober look at yourself, what is keeping me, Lord Jesus, from becoming that woman? And deep down, we all know it may be scary, it may be hard, but when you bring that to the light, first, the devil's got to go because he cannot stand the light of God and he can't stand Jesus. But also, Jesus will reveal those things when you're ready and have that courage to ask. But ladies, do not stay stuck. Do not stay in the secrets. Do not live a lie. But God has so much more for you. But you have to have that courage and pray for it. Pray for holy courage to step into whatever it is God is asking you to face and do right now in your lives.
And where can women find out more about Women Made New? And what all is there for them?
If they go to my website, womenmadenew.com, there's a couple things. If they want to start a healing process, they can go there. They can find the nearest adoration chapel. They can find a good, solid Catholic counselor there for them. They have good resources of videos and books and things that they can start right now today that will help them. Because when I was going through my healing process, I had to sift through a lot of things and there wasn't almost a one-stop shop where I knew, okay, all of this content is good, solid Catholic, and it's going to help me. And that's kind of where this started, is I saw a need and I wanted to fill that, because you're so vulnerable when you're facing a lot of these sexual wounds or things that have happened to you in the past or this brokenness, the last thing you need to go do is research and wonder, well, is this good? Is this bad? You know, that's not what needs to be happening. You need to focus on your healing. And some people may be against you starting a healing process, or maybe they like the way you are now and they're taking advantage of you. Regardless, this is about you and not about them. And just keep that in mind all the way through. And in the end, everybody listening out there, it's between you and God. It's not what your neighbor's doing. It's not what your husband's doing. At the end of the day, it's how you are responding to what God is asking you to do. So have the courage to start that healing process. And I also did Women Made New, the book, but it turned into an app that they can actually download into their phones today. And there's videos from Mother Angelica and all the different contributors of the Women Made New book that I have that actually they can do in the privacy of their own home. If they don't want to start counseling, it's not a substitute for it, but it definitely can start them on that journey.
I'm so thankful for Women Made New, the book, the mini series, the learning series, the radio show that's on EWTN Radio every Saturday at noon Eastern. So please, ladies, you do not have to be stuck in your hurt and in your sorrows. You can experience the resurrection through Women Made New. And now, Claire, this brings up a good point that when we're facing intense suffering, it's really easy to turn in on ourselves, to put on blinders and to just focus on the next step. And there are times where that's necessary short term, but what have you learned about your suffering when you turned out and started serving others?
Yes, you're right. It is so tempting to turn inward with suffering. And that's what I was doing with my experience with secondary infertility. I was almost creating an idol of it, praying throughout the day, sometimes multiple times an hour, Lord, give me a baby. Lord, I want a baby. I was definitely creating an idol. And everything changed when I stopped that prayer and said, Lord, may your perfect will be done in my life. And that's when peace entered in, but not just peace. God also gave me so many opportunities to start serving people. And it was funny at the time, not at the time I was like, but it was pregnant woman who he was calling me to serve. And I was like, God, what are you doing? But it was exactly what I needed. And sometimes it's that paradox, someone with infertility serving woman in pregnancies, that God is revealing where he wants to heal us. And I just invite anyone who is struggling to, so often we ask everyone but God for advice. And in our suffering, let's turn to God and ask, where do you want me to serve? What are you teaching me within this suffering? Who is it? Because our suffering is a gift when we unite it with his, not only to us, but to the world.
And what are some ways that women can take those unique sufferings and serve others?
So everyone has a different cross. And like I said, ask Jesus, really contemplate and turn to him and ask him, who in my life, who am I called to serve? In what way? And he will tell us but we need that intimate union with him first. We need that daily conversation with him in prayer. We need to acknowledge that suffering and fully unite it with him so that we can listen to him and who he is calling and not to turn inward, because that's where we are isolated, but to seek opportunities of love.
Amen. I couldn't agree more. And Christine, EWTN Foundress Mother Angelica was an excellent model for finding joy and humor amidst her suffering. And at one point she even said, try to laugh a lot because life is funny and everyone is too serious nowadays. The only tragedy, my friend, is sin. So how has your family emphasized seeking joy in the midst of your sorrows and sufferings?
Well, especially as someone who maybe isn't a joyful personality naturally, this is something that I've been very stretched in. I think, first of all, I've really had to examine the story I tell myself about who God is. And if God is a good God, which he is, everything works for good for those who love him, then everything that flows from God's providence is going to be good and going to be ordered for our good. There is no tragedy in a holy death, which Michael got to experience and which we carry with us. It gives us great hope. And I often think that joy is a product of hope. And the more hope that we can carry, that doesn't matter the crosses, whether they're giant or a sliver, that something beautiful can come from them, and what naturally springs from that is joy. And another thing that we do, we have lots of children under our roof who do deal with grief and who do deal with the loss of their parent throughout the season, throughout the day. And one thing that, two things that we try to do. The first is we dream big. A lot of our dreams died when Michael died. And it was rebuilding those dreams and having things to hope for and to look forward to, whether they be physical dreams or heavenly dreams. Another thing that we do is we really try to cherish every little moment that we can. Alex and I in our marriage now with our children, being able to cultivate just the beauty in the everyday moment to be able to hold that as special as it is, just knowing how valuable time is.
And you model that so beautifully. I mean, I've seen some of your Instagram posts where you drop by your husband when he's at work and you just bring him coffee or donuts or like a little treat just to show him that you care and that you love him. And you've seen through Michael's death that none of us get to live forever, and no one knows the day or the hour when their time to die will come. And so to treasure those moments, and that's what we mean when we talk about finding joy, that we're not just waiting for those moments to fall into our lap, that we are going out and we are pursuing it. And so thank you again for your witness, because it's a good reminder for me as a married woman to seek out those moments of joy alongside my husband. And you model that quote from Mother Angelica so well. And Kristalina, you know that I love talking about Mother Angelica, and I could just quote her all day. She's also known for saying that you have to laugh your way to heaven because tears won't get you there. And she says that joy is a sign of God's presence within us. So in all of the sufferings and all of the sorrow that you've experienced in your life, how much greater has the joy been?
You know, it's not in the middle of the suffering where you're experiencing joy, because you don't. You know, there's a lot of tears, there's a lot of fear and anxiety and what ifs, but the joy actually comes after, when you're seeing the fruit of the suffering, when you're actually seeing the fruit in yourself of the strength and overcoming, and thinking about how I was sexually abused, and I can sit here and I can talk on television about those things because God has truly healed me, but really healed me in the depths where I can share it with other women unashamed of what has happened to me. But there's also a grace in that, and a strength and a courage that I obviously didn't have before, but I gained that going through. And sometimes the only way is through. And if you really look at the crucifix, you know, that is what Jesus left as a universal, like almost sign and image of him. Everybody knows when you see a crucifix, that is Jesus, no matter what country you're in. And I feel like it's almost a clue of how he wants us to really embrace how we are in this world, of just being humble in the sufferings, just being docile to the Father's will. God, let your will be done when I am on the cross, when I am going through these sufferings, to just look to Jesus, because really it's in that docility and it's in that humility and embracing the cross and just looking at what Jesus went through. But he went through, and there is another side, and there is that resurrection, but there is a reason, because whatever gift and grace that you get on the other side is going to help other people, just like my Women Made New. It is the fruit of that great suffering, and know that there is a reason for all of it, and don't get discouraged and buried under it, but God has great things and great plans for you.
He does. He absolutely does. And Claire, as we're sharing about each of our experiences and suffering, it's important to see things through that Catholic lens. So you've seen this in your own life, that there's a time for joy and there's a time for suffering, based on Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So tell us what that scripture passage has meant for you in your own journey.
Definitely those seasons of suffering have made that joy, those seasons of joy, all the sweeter and more beautiful. But I thank God for those suffering moments too, because everything that Christ sends us, everything is a mercy and love, and for his greater glory, or for our sanctification, or the sanctification of the world. God is love. 1 John 4:8. If so often we hear that and we just let it roll off our mind, but to let it really penetrate that God is love, and that everything he sends us is love. And so often we can turn inward, we can let those emotions are such a gift, but we can't let them be captain of the ship all the time. So it's important to really, within those seasons, those different seasons of joy, those seasons of suffering, to look objectively too at that season. And someone who's helped me with that is philosopher Dietrich von Hildebrand. He sees the value and encourages us to have the proper response to the value before us, to fully enter in, but to properly respond instead of react to what is before us.
And then what happens when there's so much suffering in someone's life, when there finally is joy? So can you offer some insight on navigating any confusion that might come from embracing joy after a long season of suffering?
Yes, I definitely experienced this too with secondary infertility. So I was stuck in that suffering and I almost became used to it. And when joy broke through, when that grace broke through of that joy, it's alarming and it is confusing, like you said. And I would ask myself, am I worthy of this? Am I worthy of this joy or dismiss it? But no, we are. Christ made us for wholeness, to be with him and to let that fully enter in, to fully enter into each season Christ has placed before us. One quote by Mother Teresa I just love is that just to fully enter into whatever scenario God has placed before you. If that's being sick in bed all day, praise God. If that's cleaning toilets all day, praise God. Whatever it is, to fully enter in and to see it as pure gift from our merciful, loving Father.
Thank you for that reflection. It's so beautiful. And Christine, when we're in the midst of the trials and in the suffering and sorrow, it's hard to see how God is at work. And it's hard to trust that he knows what he's doing. And I know I struggle with this in my own life. I think that my way is the best way. And so before Michael's cancer diagnosis, you two were trying to grow your family, but things didn't go as planned. But what happened and how did God answer your prayers in a way that you didn't expect?
God's always been answering my prayers in a way I never expected. One prayer I often prayed in college was, God, surprise me. And it was often following a time of discernment about something. And back when I was sick, I had a misdiagnosis and a life-changing surgery that left me unable to have children. And so my late husband was adopted, and it was a desire that was on our hearts for many years. And we finally thought it was the right time. And so we were going through the adoption process and we were chosen to adopt a little baby just 6 weeks after Mike's diagnosis. So we were chosen that summer. 2 months later, Mike received the diagnosis of brain cancer. And so all of that fell apart. And it was a great loss in and of itself, and wondering why God brought me through that process just to have it all fall apart with no seeming resurrection of its own. Then I married Alex and he had 3 children. And so now we have 7. And that whole journey that I had to go through in my heart, in my mind, in seeking adoption and planning to adopt has now been applied to this new beautiful situation that we get to be in with these 7 amazing, incredible children. This time next year, it'll be 6 teenagers. So a lot of life in our home, but God answers always in ways we never expect.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a great story.
Amen.
Because Christine, a decade ago, could not perhaps have seen that, but God knew the story mm-hmm. all along. And Crystalina, we're starting to wind down the show already. I just can't believe how the time flies. But we're seeing how docility to God's will is essential, and it's easier said than done. So could you tell us, practically mm-hmm. speaking, how do you work to conform your will to God's?
I know this isn't what people are probably going to want to hear, but honestly, I listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit without haste. I do it. And a lot of the times I don't want to. Sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes I think, oh, I feel stupid. What if I call them? They're going to be like, what? What are you talking about? You know, just listening to the promptings and acting on them, because all too often we ignore them. We push them off. We tell God later. And let me repeat that. We tell God later. And that's not okay. And we need to take our faith, I think, a little more seriously. We need to act on what it is he's asking us to do. And honestly, I say constantly, Jesus, draw me close to you. Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Jesus, if I'm having a hard time or getting mad or frustrated or angry or whatever, I literally say out loud, Jesus, come into this moment. And he does, because there's a lot of attacks, more than we even realize, surrounding us. And that demonic dialogue that really wants to beat us down on a daily basis. But if you're constantly drawing and asking Jesus to come into those moments, he does. If you ask him for strength, Jesus, give me strength, he's going to do it. But I think we are a little sheepish when it comes to just talking to Jesus directly throughout the day, because a lot of the times we leave him in the box at church on Sundays, and we need to stop doing that. We need to step up and embrace God in our daily lives and our minute-to-minute movements and actions and thoughts. And it's not easy. It's something you have to train yourself to do, but it can be done. And it's helped me in my motherhood. It's helped me in my daily battles. It's helped me in ministry. It's helped me in all aspects of my life. But like I said, it's something that's kind of humbling, and you kind of question yourself at first, but I'm telling you, it's a strength, it's a grace, and it helps me day in and day out.
Jesus, come into this moment. That is a beautiful prayer to pray. And in the final minute of the show, Claire, I would love for you to offer a practical piece of prayerful or spiritual or even just practical for motherhood, a piece of wisdom to share with our viewers.
So much in motherhood goes hidden, and there are so many sufferings. There are so many joys in motherhood, and it's a little hidden vocation. And just to turn everything to Christ. And when we do fall, when we do sin, when we do suffer, experience suffering, to not be afraid to ask God to help us begin anew. Every single second is an opportunity to experience God's grace, love, a new beginning with him, a resurrection, and to call upon the Holy Spirit. We have so many gifts in this Catholic faith to turn to, like Our Lady, the Holy Spirit, and just every moment throughout our motherhood, within the joys, within the resurrections, to turn to Christ, within our sufferings, to turn to Christ. And to be joyful. Something that a priest told me when I was experiencing suffering, I was expecting him to give me advice, like practical things. And what he said to me was, you need to smile more. And it hit me that I needed to show that joy to my son. I needed to show that joy to my husband, and to just simply smile, be that avenue of grace for our family.
What a beautiful note to end on. Thank you so much, Claire. And that is all the time that we have for today. But if you appreciated the clarity and the beautiful wisdom and insight from my panel, be sure to share this episode with your friends. It'll be on our YouTube channel and free to stream anytime at EWTN.com/on-demand. So Crystalina, Claire, Christine, thank you so much for being here with me. And thank you for joining too. I can't wait to see you here, same time, same place, next week on The Catholic Sphere.